from the look of things, we're back to simple, small crowds. But I can't so quickly leave behind the great events of yesterday. Yesterday was a great feast day, of course, Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. A celebration of something extraordinary, something new, bursting onto the scene of the fallen world, a feast of great hope that God has intervened for our sake, starting with the Immaculate Conception. So not only was it a great feast day, but I was able to participate in two very beautiful liturgies. One was our own Foundation Day yesterday morning. Lots of people, good music, choir, and then a celebration. So that was a joyful event. And then yesterday afternoon, we had the blessing of the new church, parish church. Lots of people, great music, the bishop, a lot of priests, and a very beautiful liturgy. Not only a celebration of the new entry of grace into the world, but also a sign that the difficulties of the pandemic are gradually fading. We can actually gather, maybe not in huge numbers, but at least have a good number of people. And even if we can't sit next to each other, we can have the experience of praying together. One thing, you know, we're made for social life, community life, and liturgy is supposed to be done by people gathered together in one place, face to face, joined in one heart, one voice, praising the Lord. So that's part of liturgy, and we've had a kind of a famine of it over the past year and a half. So yesterday was really a very beautiful, joyful day. Now we continue our Advent journey, aware that God has already intervened. He's already broken into time. He's already planted the seed of the redemption in the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But remember, the Immaculate Conception was an absolute secret. Nobody knew about it. So how could we get from the point of having nobody know about it to have everybody know about it? Well, it has to be announced. It has to be proclaimed. And that's what brings us back to this extraordinary figure of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was given the singular mission of declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. It's time. We're right on the threshold of a whole new thing breaking into the world here, and we have to get ready for it. So John is the figure of preparation. He's the Advent figure. Of course, Mary was already here, but nobody knew who she was. Nobody knew who Jesus was, but John, pretty much everybody knew who John was because he attracted so much interest, fascination. He moved people to conversion, and he also moved people to violent opposition. He was a classic example, the classic example of a prophet. Prophets come, they announce the word of God, and they suffer the consequences of announcing the word is not always welcomed. When it is welcomed, the prophet gets acclamation. When the word is opposed, the prophet gets persecuted, usually killed. And that's what happened to John. Now you'll notice something as we go through our Advent preparation. John rises up as a very important figure, and he spends a lot of time pointing to the one who is to come. He says, don't look at me, I'm not even worthy of unfastening the sandal strap of the one to come. I'm just a voice. So that's John's constant proclamation. And then when Jesus comes along, he spends a fair amount of time pointing at John the Baptist. So John is pointing to Jesus, and Jesus points to John. And listen to what Jesus says in today's gospel. Among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. But yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus explains that John is the greatest of the old system. You can't get anyone greater than John. But once the new system, once the new kingdom is inaugurated, well, then everybody's greater than John, because grace surpasses nature. But why does Jesus, if the new order, the new dispensation has been inaugurated with Jesus, why does he spend so much time honoring John? After all, he says he's greater than any man born of woman, and then at the end he says he's Elijah. He's Elijah, the one who is to come. Well, the reason why Jesus points to John is because if we don't get the fruit of John's mission, we're not ready for Jesus to come. So John points to Jesus because that's his mission, to prepare the way for Jesus. Jesus points to John because you have to get John first. You have to respond to the grace offered through this great prophet first. Otherwise, you won't be ready. And we know that's exactly what happened. Those who welcomed John, the ordinary people welcomed John, hailed him as a prophet, went out into the desert, got baptized, repented of their sins. That's what the ordinary people did, the humble people did. But the proud, usually the big deals in the religion or in politics, they did not heed the preparation of John. Well, we know that scribes and Pharisees did not want to accept him. And we know Herod, who opposed him, Herod's wife or Herod's brother's wife, opposed him because John was speaking the truth and they were opposed to the truth. So they weren't ready. Jesus, in pointing to John, repeats the message of John, which is repentance. Repentance of sin and preparation for the way. It's the message we heard on Sunday. Level the mountains. Fill in the valleys. Make straight the crooked roads. Smooth out the rough ways. Do what you have to do to get ready. Whether it's the small task of filling in a pothole in the road or the huge task of tearing down a mountain, whatever it takes, do it. And that seems to be what Jesus indicates here when he talks about the violence involved in the coming of the kingdom. From the days of John the Baptist until now, that's not very many days, because John the Baptist came right just before Jesus' public mission. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. The commentaries don't know what to make of that line. Nobody is quite sure how to interpret it. But one of the ways that we could interpret it is to say, we have to do the work of preparing the way. Maybe it seems like violent work, and when we're fighting our own sin condition, or when we're fighting against the sin in the world, it sure does seem like violence. Try to overthrow the power of evil, it takes a violent revolution, both in the political order and in our own inner life. If you don't know what I'm talking about, try fasting. Try fasting. That's a kind of violence. And your own nature will rebel. I'm not going to fast. I can eat what I want. Well, no, you can't. You tell yourself, no, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to make a little sacrifice. You'll experience the violence that's involved in the coming of the kingdom. To welcome the kingdom means to put down the strong forces that oppose the kingdom, and that feels like violence. Okay, well, that's part of the Advent work. So yesterday we had this great message of hope, of joy, of purity, Immaculate Conception. Today we are reminded, in order to welcome this new, pure, immaculate kingdom and to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we have to do the work that John the Baptist was sent to guide us in, that is the work of preparing the way. Today's saint is a nice example of this, Saint Juan Diego. He, remember, lived in the time of a social, cultural, religious revolution. The country we now call Mexico was under the domination of the Aztec Empire, and that was one cruel empire with lots of human sacrifice to demons. That's how it was. I know it's not politically correct to say anything bad about indigenous peoples, but the Aztec Empire had was dominated by a lot of cruelty and violence. Along comes the Christian missionaries, and they say, we're preaching a God who comes as man and offers himself in sacrifice. They couldn't make any headway. There were very, very few converts in the beginning until Our Lady came. And she appeared to Juan Diego and said, don't be afraid of this God. I'm your mother, and I have a message that is completely different than the message of force that you heard from the Aztecs, and also the message of force that you heard from the conquistadores. The sword of the Spanish was not a welcome message either. But the message of the gospel is completely different. And Mary, in her humility and purity, freedom from sin, she crushes the head of the serpent. Juan Diego was a very humble little man. He was the kind of person nobody would notice, and that's why Mary chose him as the instrument of this revolution. He didn't have to pick up a sword and fight against the Aztecs or against the Spanish. All he had to do was say, Mary came, and look, she gave me this picture of herself. And that was all it took to convert millions and millions of people. So that's why I said at the beginning, Juan Diego is something like a John the Baptist figure, not that he was preaching in the desert, but he's an instrument that prepares the way for the coming of the kingdom. In this case, the coming of the kingdom ushered in by Our Lady Guadalupe. Well, in our Advent, we have to do the work, but we do it with humility, with obedience of faith, with inspiration of John the Baptist and Juan Diego and all the saints, so that we know the way, we prepare the way, we follow the way.